of you that don't know me and my wife, I'm Stu. Carla is the young lady that did the offering presentation just now. We decided to come in our matching denim today. I'd like to say that I chose my shirt first, and then she decided to copy me because she has converted me into one of the coolest men on this planet, in her opinion. That's not me saying that, that's her, obviously. we serve as executive pastors at the moment and have done for many years, 15 maybe. And then obviously in a couple of weeks' time, we have the privilege, the honor, the responsibility of stepping into our new role, which will be to be senior pastors of Family Church. And God has confirmed every step of the way. And we're so grateful for the 28 years of life that we've done with Pastor Andy and Gina, for serving under their ministry, serving under their leadership. But we're also grateful for all that he's calling them to do in this next season, as they take Soul Winner, the gospel, to the nations, as they continue to support churches in an apostolic role, and for all that God's got for Andy and Gina, but then all that God's got for us as a church as well. We're excited about the future. We're excited about all that God is doing in each one of our congregations. Don't forget, we're a church that is a multi-congregational church. The reason some of you don't know us is because we've been busy planting our South Sea congregation over the last year. South Sea is just over a year old now, and we handed over in September to the wonderful Andy and Zell Bullock, and pray for them, pray for all of our pastors regularly. They're doing an amazing job in leading South Sea to its next season as well. And Elliot, our son, our 17-year-old, he's stayed in South Sea. He's running the sound in South Sea. Lots of you know Corbin, our nearly 21-year-old handsome single son, and he's the drummer. and Lola is 10 years old tomorrow, and she's in kids' church right now. All right? So get heckling from the front row sometimes. But let me get on with what needs to be said today. First of all, there's Adura just asked me to mention there's about three children who are signed into kids' church who haven't been taken to kids' church. And it's important that the parents let the kids' church leaders know that they're not going to kids' church, just so that we know those children are safe with the parents rather than being delivered into kids' church today. So if that's you, you could just please let someone at the back know who can deliver that message to kids' church. Thank you. Thank you very much. Right, so here we go. So last Sunday, Pastor Andy shared our first message of 2026. And the title of his message was, It's Time to Rise and Build. And that message was very well received, I think, by this congregation, because I think we're all feeling it. We're all feeling that it's time to rise and build. He was saying it's not time to be sitting on our, as he put it, our blessed assurance, but that we should be stepping up, and God's doing something, and we want to be involved with what God is doing. Amen? There's no easy way of doing that, sorry. So Pastor Andy spoke from the book of Nehemiah, and he spoke about the walls of Jerusalem being built by the Jews when they went back to Judah from captivity. And Pastor Andy shared that prophetically for him and Gina, and he felt really for the church that it's time not to sit back and do nothing, but time to rise and build. And I wholeheartedly agree. And Carla and I were really blessed last week. Several of you came to us afterwards, as Pastor Andy had said, you know, make sure you're letting Stuart and Carla know that you're with them, that you're building with them. And we were so blessed by some of the conversations that we had after the service last week, as people came to us, and during this week as well, and people came to us and said, we're with you, we're rising and we're building with you. So thank you. And on behalf of the whole team, of course, because this isn't our church. This church belongs to Jesus. And we have an incredible team who are we are doing the building work with. So Psalm 127 verse 1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it." They labor in vain who build it. So that one's not on the screen. But just want you to know that this is Jesus' church. And Jesus is the master builder of the church. Amen? He's the master builder. When Jesus is in charge, there's nothing the devil can do to stop what God has planned. And I speak that over your life as well. When Jesus is in charge, there's nothing the devil can do to stop what God has planned. So our responsibility is simply to build as God has called us to build. Everything God builds, I'm going to say this phrase a few times today, but everything God builds is spectacular, strong, and stands through the storms. Turn to someone near you and say, spectacular. And now get your tissues out. Wipe yourself down from all the spit that just landed on you from that word, spectacular. You know, I got this saliva thing. So everything God builds is spectacular, strong, and stands through the storms. That's because everything God builds has firm foundations. And that's what we're going to focus on today. The title of this message is simply Firm Foundations. So what God wants to do in your life requires a firm foundation. If what God is going to do in your life is spectacular, strong, and stand through the storms, then you have to take time to build a solid foundation. Now, just as a side note, what is spectacular to man isn't often spectacular to God. And what is spectacular to God isn't often spectacular to man. What I would say is if what you're building is what God has designed, then it is spectacular. Everything God builds is spectacular. And we have to get in tune with what that looks like. In the prayer meeting before the service, Pastor Sean was leading us in prayer. And he said, today, God, maybe there's going to be some tearing down of some things that have been built. And maybe there's going to be new things built. Maybe it's time to tear some things down and build some new things. And I was just thinking about that in context of what I'm sharing with you today. And I do think that perhaps there's some foundations that we've laid and we've built on in our lives that actually we need to just stop and go back to the foundations and make sure the foundations that need to be in place are there for what God wants to do moving forward. I'm speaking that over each one of your lives individually. So what God wants to do in your life requires a firm foundation if it's going to be spectacular, strong, and stand through the storms. So foundations determine four things in my mind. They are, I'll just tell you them first. The shape of the building, the reach of the building, or the size of the building, the height of the building, and the longevity of the building. So if there's architects here, then you can come and disagree with me afterwards about foundations, because I'm not an expert in foundations. But looking at what I believe God wants me to share today, these are the four things that we're going to focus in on. So the shape of the building. So the foundation needs to be the right shape for what God wants to build in your life. And that's different for every one of us, because what God wants to build in each one of us is different, isn't it? It's unique to each one. Each one of us, we have a journey, we have a calling, we have gifts that God's given us. And for each one of us, the foundation's going to look different because what God's doing looks different. So the shape of the building. And then the reach of the building, or the size of the building. The foundation needs to cover the whole area of where the future building is going to be built. Anyone ever seen foundations that have been laid without the building yet laid? You can see the shape of it and you can see the size that it's going to be. If what God's building is going to reach far and wide, in other words, if it's going to have a far-reaching impact, the foundation needs to cover a huge area. I have a feeling that God is very interested in laying a large foundation in Family Church because our reach is going to go far and wide. It's gone far and wide already, but there is so much further that God wants to take us in the coming decades. And I'm excited about just seeing what God's going to do as we continue to walk with him. So the foundation determines the shape, the size, or the reach, and the height of the building. Now, the foundation needs to go deep enough to carry the weight of what is built on it. The higher you go, the heavier the building will be. So, you need strong foundations to carry the weight of that thing that is being built high. If God has called you to do something great, something that has a deep impact, a real meaning to it, if God's called you to reach great heights, your foundation needs to be very deep. Now, on the 31st of December, I decided, without looking out the window, that me and Lola, Carla was working that day, we would go up the Spinnaker Tower. I don't know if you remember, but on the 31st of December, there was a thick fog over Portsmouth. And we got there, and I was like, Lola, I'm not sure that we're going to see much today. So we went up the top of this tower, and it was like just we were in the clouds. Literally, we could see nothing at all, which was good because I decided to read some of the posters on the walls. Lola didn't consider that was particularly good because I like to read everything. And I read that there were, to build the Spinnaker Tower, there were 84 concrete piles holding up the tower. 84 concrete piles holding up the tower, some going as deep as 50 meters into the ground. So that makes the Spinnaker Tower a very strong tower. It can go high because it's got deep foundations. And if God's called you to go to great heights in your life, you have to have great foundations in place. Even when the storms come, it stands strong because it has great foundations. And that's the fourth thing. So the shape, the size or the reach, the height, and of course the longevity of the building. The depth of the foundation also determines how long the building will stand and how it will do when the storms come. And I don't know if you've lived life for more than about 2 months, you'll realize that storms do come. There are challenges in life, right? Yeah, and if anyone's ever lived a challenge-free, storm-free life, then you're probably living on another planet because storms do come. So what's important is that the foundation of our lives, the foundation of what God is building, goes deep enough to sustain what God is doing in the middle of the storms. Matthew 7, 24 to 27 says this. This is Jesus speaking. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, so in other words, we don't just hear, but we put into practice what Jesus teaches, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. I want to be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. What makes a person wise? What makes a person wise according to this passage here is you don't just hear what Jesus has got to say, but you put it into practice in your life. Let's determine that this year we're going to be a people who don't just hear, but we put into practice what Jesus says. Amen. So the shape and the reach of the building can be added to over time. Now you don't have to get that perfect straight away. Over time, the shape of what God's called you to do will probably change. And that's okay. You can add to. You can remove bits if you need to. That's fine. The size or the reach, how far God will take you, that will grow over time. So it's quite natural to build extensions and to grow this thing. But if you don't go deep enough with this foundation, you will limit how high the building can go up. In other words, you'll limit the heights to which you can go, the meaning, the depth of what God can do through your life will be limited if the foundations don't go deep enough. Or you'll build something that's unsustainable and the storms come and it wipes it out. I heard this said many years ago, that we should never allow our gift to take us where our character can't keep us. And that's why there are incredible women and men of God who have done incredible things for God, yet they have fallen, they have messed up because, number one, they're human. Number two, perhaps the gifting has taken them further than the character could sustain them. So we've got to make sure the character is being built, because that's the foundation of how God is going to use us in the future. So it's time to rise and build, church, starting with strong or firm foundations. So if we're going to build something significant, it starts with a strong foundation. It determines the shape, size, height, and longevity of the building. So, as we step into this next season for Family Church, I believe that God is asking us to make sure the foundation is right for what He wants to do next. And He wants our next to be significant. So it's important to take time to make sure the foundation is good. So I am all up for rise and build. I am all up for moving forwards as God has called us to, but let's make sure we don't take shortcuts or bypass what needs to be in place to sustain what God has for us in the future. Amen? So Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 18, He said to Peter, who had had this amazing revelation of who Jesus is, "Jesus, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." In verse 18, Jesus says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," hell, "shall not prevail against it." So the devil's domain cannot prevail against the church that Jesus is building. Amen? Now, Peter's name, of course, means rock. So Jesus says to him, "On this rock I will build my church." And that's in the context of Peter was one of the apostles. He was used by God in the first century to establish the church in Jerusalem. And isn't it great that Peter's name was changed from Simon? Simon, a reed, easily broken. Peter, the rock. My middle name is Simon. Jesus, of course, is the rock that the church is built upon. He's the rock that the church is built upon, the very cornerstone of the church. Amen? So when Jesus was talking to Peter, He was telling Peter, "You're a rock. I'm going to build my church on you." But really what He was saying is it's this rock that the church is going to be built on. And if we try and build on any other rock, if we try and put any other cornerstone in place, we are going to fail miserably. It's all going to fall apart. So the prophet Isaiah declared these words concerning Jesus in Isaiah 28, verse 16. It says this, "Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem, a firm and tested stone. It is a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on, and whoever believes need never be shaken." When I said yes to Jesus, when my life was saved by Jesus, He took me from the miry clay and He set my feet upon the rock. Jesus is the rock on which I stand. Amen? Your life, if you build your life on Jesus, you will stand the test of time. You will stand strong in the storms. Storms are not easy. Challenges still come. Life isn't always easy, but you will stand strong. So Jesus is the cornerstone. The very first stone that is laid is the cornerstone, and it determines where the building is going to be built and the direction that the building will go. Now, when it comes to family church, right now, Jesus has placed us in seven locations. Where are they? Portsmouth, Southsea, Havant, Waterlooville, Gosport, Waterside, which is New Forest, and Manila. So Jesus has placed us in seven locations where he's called us to build. And our desire is to build according to the direction that Jesus has for us. Amen? We want to do things his way. We do not want to do things according to the will of man, but the will of God. So as we consider the foundation, it's important to think about the cornerstone. Keep the cornerstone in place. That's Jesus. But then also the foundation. Well, according to the Bible, Acts 2 verse 42, it says this: they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. So it talks about the apostles' doctrine. And the apostles' doctrine, or in other words, doctrine is a set of teaching. So the first a group of apostles, those who were called by God to establish the church in the first century, they shared a set of teaching. They established a set of teaching that the church would be built on. And that is Scripture. And it's been that set of teaching, that doctrine, has been carried through the centuries within the pages of Scripture. Amen? So we believe the Bible is the inspired, inerrant, and infallible Word of God. Inspired, inerrant, no errors, infallible, it doesn't fail, Word of God, revealing the truth of God to humanity. Only God could do something like this. And the way that this was put together, only God could work that. And of course, this is an English translation of the original scriptures, the Hebrew and the Greek. If you want total accuracy, go to the Hebrew and the Greek. But this is our best attempt at translating that as accurately as possible. And many scholars, like who are far, far wiser than you and I, have put incredible time, given their lives to translate the Hebrew and Greek into Bibles, into translations that help us to understand what the Word of God says. Praise God. So we build the church on the foundation of the fundamental truth that is revealed in the Word of God, the Bible. And Ephesians 2, verses 19 to 22 says this. It says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints," saints being the holy people, not supporters of Southampton Football Club. "So fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." So just stop there. So Paul is writing to people who are non-Jews, and he is saying to them, you have now been made holy by God. And it's not just the Jewish nation that God is working through on this earth, but it's everyone who would believe in Jesus. Verse 20. And this is how we're built. Being built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, as I was just saying, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, there's a lot to that, but what it's saying basically is that what God is building is not a physical building. It's a spiritual building, and it's called the church. The church is built on Jesus as the cornerstone. The primary foundation of the church is the fundamental truth set out by the early apostles in the first century, carried through the centuries by the Bible, the Word of God. So that's what we're being built on. But we together, we are living stones, the Bible says, that we are part of God's building. And it says here, and I just find this so exciting, we are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit, or by His Holy Spirit. So that's what the church is. We are people who are being built together for God to dwell in. to be a place where God is, and to be a place that takes the presence of God into this world around us. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? Like, isn't that just such a privilege to take the presence of God into the world around us? Anyone excited about that? Anyone excited to represent Jesus as ambassadors of his kingdom? Come on, this is good. So, as we consider the foundations that are needed to support what God is going to do through Family Church in the next season, our heart is to lay a foundation that is everything it needs to be for the shape, for the reach, and especially for the height and the longevity that God has called us to. Because everything God builds is spectacular, strong, and will stand through the storms. So it's vital that we get this right. So this year, this coming year, we are going to be spending time looking at getting the foundations really right for what God wants to do next. Because that's the first thing you do when you rise and build. Amen? It's the first thing you do. We're not going to take any shortcuts. We are not going to skimp on materials. If you look at Solomon's temple, there was no skimping on the materials. We're going to catch the heart of God for what he wants to do with the foundations, and we're going to lay them really, really well this year. Now, many people don't like foundations because the foundations themselves aren't really spectacular. They're not beautiful. In fact, they're not even seen. But without them, nothing of significance can be built. And I think it's easy to get bored with foundations. It's easy to get bored drilling down into the ground to, you know, to lay those 50-meter concrete pillars. Hopefully the people that built the Spinnaker Tower didn't get too bored. I think they did skimp on some of the materials from what I read. You know, hopefully that tower will stand because I think it's quite cool. By the way, I got free tickets to go back again because it was foggy and we couldn't see the forts on the hill. So if you ever go and it's cloudy and you can't see the forts on the hill, they've got this guarantee where they'll let you come again for free, just so you know. Now, when you look at a big, beautiful, fruit-bearing tree that stands strong even in the storms, that's because it's sustained by a massive network of roots under the ground, right? That's how a big, beautiful tree is sustained. It's a massive network of roots under the ground. So the unseen things, the under-the-ground things, need to be right in order to sustain the big things that God wants to do in the future. 80, 90% of an iceberg is under the water. So what you see on the surface is just the cap of the iceberg. The real stuff is done under the water. A tree's strength, longevity, and fruitfulness is determined by the roots. So we've got to get the roots right, church. Amen? The preparation has to be done well. The foundations have to be laid correctly. And it's the same with your life. The same with your life. You've got to get the foundations right so that what God wants to build is going to be spectacular, strong, and stand through the storms. So just to finish. So in 520 BC, that's quite a long time ago, isn't it? About 2,500 years ago. But in 520 BC, the governor of Judah, his name was Zerubbabel. He was standing in Jerusalem on this foundation of the temple that had been laid. So what had happened? He'd returned to Jerusalem. This is before Nehemiah built the walls. Zerubbabel had returned to Jerusalem with the instructions from God to rebuild the temple. So the foundation had been laid, and that took 2 years. So I think it was done pretty well. But the building work had now ceased, and the foundation had just been there for 17 years. Imagine that. You've been instructed to do something. You've laid the foundation, but now nothing happens for 17 years. I think Zerubbabel was probably disheartened and perhaps resented the foundation that he would walk on every day, thinking, I know there's more. I know there's more. I did what I was meant to do by laying this foundation, but where is the rest? Where's it coming from? But then God sends the prophet Zechariah to tell Zerubbabel, they all start with Z, not to despise the day of small beginnings. Not to despise the day of small beginnings. In other words, don't despise this foundation that has been laid, because this is significant. This is going to carry the future work that God wants to do. And Zechariah says to Zerubbabel, and this isn't going to be by your ability, it's not going to be by your might or power, but he says it's going to be by the Spirit of God. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. He says that about his temple. He says that about his church. That's how God is going to build his church. It's going to be a move of God. It's got to be a move of God, amen? It's got to be a move of God. So I believe God wants to encourage us and also challenge us today. So let me start with the word encourage. God wants to encourage you and me, church, that the work that he has begun, he is faithful to complete it. If you feel like foundations have been laid and you're like Zerubbabel and you're looking around and you're thinking, I know there's more, I believe God wants to encourage you today that the work that he has begun, he is faithful to complete it, both in your life and in the life of the church. I know there's more. There's so much more. And God is faithful to complete it. There's so much more to come. But also challenge. So challenge. God wants to challenge us not to despise the day of small beginnings, not to bypass the steps that he needs to take to build what he has called you to build in your life and what he has called us to build in the life of Family Church. So let's not take any shortcuts. Let's not bypass what God needs to do to get this foundation right. Let's see the value and the importance of laying strong foundations and make sure we get it right, because what God is building is spectacular. It's strong and it stands through the storms. So as we close today, I just want you to consider a couple of things. And don't move around. Just stay in your chairs and just think about these things for a moment, these questions. So what foundations need to be laid in your life to correctly prepare for what God wants to build? Maybe you have an idea of what God might want to build in your life. What foundations need to be laid in order to correctly prepare for that? And are your foundations going deep enough? Have you become aware today that maybe the foundations that have been laid so far, they're just not going deep enough? And you've got to spend some time just going deeper with the foundations so that when you do rise to a great height and God uses you in glorious ways, that's sustainable. In the future, you can change shape, you can reach out further, but you've got to make sure the foundations are deep enough for what God wants to build. It says in 1 Peter 2, verses 4 to 5, just to finish. It says, you're coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. Doesn't that make you feel wanted? Doesn't that make you feel special that you are a living stone in the work that God is doing, in the church that God is building? Every one of us has a part to play in the building of God's house. And as Carla was saying earlier, this is time, it's all or nothing. This is time to give it all. This is time to say yes to everything that God is calling us to say yes to. Today, I believe God is calling us to offer ourselves as living stones and as living sacrifices, according to Romans 12. Offer ourselves as living stones to him in a fresh and meaningful way, ready for what he wants to do next. And that's all Zerubbabel did. and later Nehemiah, so Zerubbabel who built the temple, Nehemiah who built the walls of the city, as we heard about last week, they went to the king, the Persian king, the king who was ruling over the Jewish people at that time, and they were then sent back to Judea to build the things that God wanted to build, starting with the temple and then the walls. The temple representing the dwelling place of God. The church, the walls representing the influence of the kingdom, the extent of the kingdom. And God wants to build something that is, he wants to build a church that is filled with his presence. He wants to build a church that is filled with the glory and the splendor of God, so that when people come into our midst, they experience the awesomeness of God. But he wants the church to extend its reach. He wants us to go into this world and take Jesus and take the glory of Jesus' kingdom to people around us. And that's represented by the walls. So I want to just ask you a question as we finish today. Maybe you want to just close your eyes for a moment and just think about this question, because it's a deep one and it's a meaningful one, and it's simply this: are you available for God to use today? Are you available for God to use to build his church, his dwelling place, and to bring the light of his kingdom into the darkness of the world around you? Are you available for God to use today? And when I read my Bible, I see person after person, woman and man after woman and man, who said yes to God. Who said, yes, God, I'm available. I'm available to be used by you. And that's all we have to do. And the things that God is going to do in and through your life will go beyond your wildest imagination if you make yourself wholly available to God. God could do amazing things in this next year, in this next decade, in the coming decades. All he needs is for us to make ourselves available to him. Just as we finish today, I just want to ask if there's anyone in this room today, and you're in church, which is a wonderful thing, but you've never begun a relationship with God. And as a church, we believe it's so important to mark the start of your relationship with God, to be meaningful and to be deliberate and intentional about stepping into relationship with God. Now, this is the truth. No one can have a relationship with God outside of acknowledging Jesus. Jesus stepped into this world 2,000 years ago. He was perfect in every way. He was holy before God. Yet he went to the cross, and Jesus on that cross took the sin of the world upon himself, and he paid the punishment for our sin. He was buried, and he rose from the dead on the third day. Jesus' resurrection from the dead proves that there is life beyond the grave. So this is about making peace with God today. Saying, Jesus, I believe that you took my sin. I cannot live in such a way that makes me right before God. But Jesus, I believe that what you did on the cross makes me right before God. And this decision affects your now in this life, and it affects your eternity. So if anyone is here and you want to make that decision for Jesus, I'm going to pray a prayer so that you can mark this moment by starting your relationship with God through this prayer. Please close your eyes and bow your heads, church. Say after me, nice and loud, everyone together, say, Dear Father, I accept that I cannot live up to your perfect standard, and I turn away from my sin. Thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price for my sin. I believe that you forgive me and you make all things new. I surrender to you and I desire to take your path for my life. Thank you for loving me. Amen. Amen. Just keep your heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer today, praise God. And we know that some of you have. We're excited because some people have made their peace with God today by accepting Jesus. But if you prayed that prayer today, we are so happy. We are so excited. We love that you have just started a relationship with God. There's one more thing we want you to do today, just so I can see you, so that we can pray for you. Just raise your hand wherever you are. Just raise your hand boldly, courageously. I have started a relationship with God today. Everyone else's heads are bowed, but I just want to know. Thank you so much. Thank you. I see a couple of hands. I see at least 3, 4 hands. Praise God. Anyone else today? You've made that decision. 5 hands. You've made that decision for Jesus. You're saying, yes, Jesus, I believe in you. Any more hands today? Thank you. You can put your hands down, those that have raised your hands. Anyone else at all? Okay, you can lift your heads up now as well. So just if you raised your hands today, if you prayed that prayer and you didn't raise your hand, that's okay. We would love you to go and speak to our team in the corner of the room over there, because they've got some literature, free literature that they want to give you, some stuff that we'd love you to read. And we'd also love to just make sure that we got your contact details so we can stay in touch with you and we can cheer you on as you do this journey with Jesus. Hey, church, it's been a privilege to share the Word of God today. And our prayer for you is that your week would be blessed in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.